Welcome to our podcast,
Band BFFs,
the podcast where we make your music selection less complicated.
On today's episode, we're going to be discussing Action Scene by Brian Balmages. Cheers to starting the conversation.
All right, Action Scene, this is such a fun, great programmatic piece to put together. It's about 2 minutes in length. It's in the key of F or D minor, 3/4 throughout.
Texas PML grade one.
Yes, split clarinet parts, two clarinet, two trumpet parts. The low brass, low reed part is doubled throughout. Percussion, timpani, marimba. You need minimum 6 percussionists. You could do it with more because you can split some parts up, but minimum 6 percussionists. And I do think a lot of the accessory percussion stuff on the percussion two part is all really important to getting the flavor of the piece of music. So minimum 6 percussionists.
Laura and I have both played this piece with region bands when we have been invited to be clinicians, which I think is super appropriate because it's such a fun piece to put together. It is not super difficult in rhythms, but the kids all, like, there's a cool low brass part. The percussion gets to play all the time. So this is a great piece if you're just looking to let everybody be happy and to have, like, a fun part.
Have a good time. It's a really fun piece. Now, I'll say that what I think is deceptive on the piece is the articulation. The rhythms are not difficult, but it is 2 minutes of articulation. Yeah. One and two and three and, like, lots of articulation. So the tendency can be for it to get real heavy and the percussion
and
as well.
A little bit.
Yeah, it can get real heavy with articulation and heavy, loud percussion and want to slow down a little bit. So keeping the energy up while maintaining kind of the lightness so it doesn't bog down.
The whole piece starts off with, like, and it's at 156 tempo, so it's fast. Starts off with a big hit, and then it's kind of like just the marimba keeping the beat underneath the pulse, kind of like, you know, like Mission Impossible type feel. So everybody plays on 1, 2, 1, 2, and the whole band has that rhythm at the beginning. So you got to make sure everybody counts, everybody articulates firmly all together, like
Laura said.
Watch
your rest, watch your rest.
Yes. But it's like got like that little like action scene type of feel to it. Like, what's going to happen? The trumpet has the melody along with clarinet one and alto sax at the beginning. So you would want to layer everybody else down at that moment. In fact, write in everybody's parts, piano at this moment, so that we don't have all those big hits constantly like at your face. You want to level it down,
right?
So you can hear those couple of different melodic parts. That's not very many people on the melody.
Yeah.
And then they keep going on the melody until 9. 9, the low brass get the melody, so that's really fun for them. I know when I've played this with region bands, for some reason this rhythm catches children off guard sometimes. 1, 2, 1, 2, 3. And you're like, well, that's not hard, but it could be, I guess, for low brass sometimes. So just making sure the kids like feel that and know what it feels like. It's got lots of A flats written in. So you got to be careful
and
on the
naturals,
third position.
Yeah. So you're doing E naturals and A flats. And so like melodically, they need to kind of get in their ear what this sounds like. It's not something you see on the page and you go, oh, this is, I can sing this in my head, right?
It's so they, more of a minor feel.
Yes. So they need to get that in their ear to help that tuning be really solid in the trombones.
It's also doubled in bass clarinet and barry sax, which is nice. So they're, you know, tubas have it too. So everybody in the lows get their moment of glory. Then you get a little punctuation in the trumpet at 13 with 1, 2, 3, and it doesn't have a crescendo on it, but I added that in.
Absolutely.
Yeah, like start softer and like come out of nowhere just to give it that little excitement feel.
Make it more musically interesting. There's stuff going on in the percussion. We're playing on the rim. We're doing some hi-hat. So there's all of these different kind of sounds and textures coming from the percussion section that I think the trumpets are kind of like fitting in. Yeah, fitting into all of that.
At 17... the lows are going to come down a volume, and then the clarinets come in with the melody line. And now it's like, it does sound like Mission Impossible to me. They're playing dotted half notes on each beat. Every measure, it's a new note. and it's kind of like a drawn out melody line, and you can add shaping to that too. Mm-hmm. Get stronger on each measure. Alto sax adds in, and so they're adding to the fun feel. Like Laura said, we've got closed hi-hat going on with open hi-hat too. So it's like a fun little percussion part here for sure. Lows are continuing to just kind of now have the background melody. At 25, the trumpets come in and take over.
Trumpets and horns come in, and so they have that. They're taking over this dotted half-note melody, and now we're getting the low voices are still keeping with that one, two, and one, two, and now we have the upper woodwinds that are coming in but changing notes instead of saying on one note. So their part is now going to be just slightly more important than what's happening.
Yep. Two and three.
Than what's happening in the motor, still while the melody is in this dotted half-note section that's now going on in trumpet, horn, and in tenor sax. So we're kind of building this
anticipation.
Excitement. We're kind of building up the dynamic level dropped off, and now we're kind of building and re-intensifying to get us all the way up to the next big moment, what's coming up at measure 33.
I think it's really important at measures like this, especially with younger bands, to write in on their part, like number one, trumpet, horn. Mm-hmm. Number two, flute, oboe, clarinet, yes. Or whatever. Like, I just call it like mids, highs, and lows, usually in my band. But like writing in on their part, or like taking your pencil, like everybody's marked mezzo forte here.
Right.
But that's not accurate. So like taking it, and when you're marking your parts, like change the dynamic level. Forte for horn and trumpet. Mezzo forte for upper woodwinds, piano for low brass,
right. And we, in my band hall, we call that ear mapping.
Yep.
So we're constantly writing like, okay, our ear map on, here's where your ear needs to go. So, ear map that out on their parts as much as you can ahead of time.
Yeah, that'll help.
Yeah, for sure. And if not, at least the kids can have some ownership in that process when you're rehearsing it.
Yep. At Laura mentioned at 33, we have a big hit. Right before that at 31, everybody has a forte piano. So we're going to come down, and the low brass and low reeds start on beat one, and then on beat two is like the highs and the mids. One, two, and then we all join together, two and three and one. And that's a big fall at 33. So that's fun because everybody gets to move their little fingers, and it kind of sounds jazzy, kind of like an action scene. Then the lows keep going with the fun part, but this time with a new style.
So they have marcato accents, and they're doing one and two and rest, one and two and. This one, is the two, part where I really feel like it can get heavy if the style is not executed correctly. Mm-hmm. Obviously, a marcato is going to be really firm. It's going to be short. It needs to be defined. But, I use this example when I'm talking articulation with my band all the time. We talk about the difference between a sumo wrestler and a sprinter. And a sumo wrestler is not built for sprinting. That's not what his body is made for, right? So that when you're talking about articulating rhythms like this, where you're having to be this same fast rhythm over and over, making their tongue like a sprinter, no sumo wrestler tongues. So sprinter tongue, so that the articulation does not slow down like a fat guy in his underwear.
There's a cool part here too with China cymbal on beat three, which I think is fun. It adds to that like flavor of the piece. Kids always like China cymbal because it's got that real distinct sound, but it's a really neat little like effect here for percussion. They're going to continue doing this, and then horn and clarinet come in with one, three, and it's like a forte, like a crescendo to a forte, and then a decrescendo. Then the lows keep going, but now the same articulation.
They have this melody like what they had at the beginning. So more of these E naturals and A flats back to that same little melodic line, that statement.
Timpani, hi-hat, snare drum on rim are adding to the anticipation underneath. Clarinet and horn now get this new part with tenor sax at 43. They're like the new melody, and it's the same thing the lows had before, just a different tessitura and color. Lows are now not important at all. They're just playing color chords. Trumpets have a secondary part where they're doing like little chromatic-y things. B natural, B flat, B natural, C sharp. It's kind of a weird little interlude with saxophone. So just making sure that the kids can hear like those half steps.
And when it changes, right? Because it changes.
It's not on the same beat. Right.
Always
sometimes
at the same time.
It's on beat one, sometimes it's on three. And then like sax is going from like F to F sharp, making sure you mark in their part ahead of time to use the chromatic fingering. Mm-hmm. For F sharp, there's a lot of different like chromatic type things and considerations in the clarinet part too. So just going through your part ahead of time to make sure that kids are like, you have to go from B flat to B natural in clarinet one. Mm-hmm. So making sure that they understand they can't switch their finger. They have to use the chromatic fingering.
Especially at that speed.
Yeah. So going through your parts in advance to make sure you've thought about all of that, I think is really important.
The marimba part here, it changes a little bit. Instead of just being kind of on this one note, keep the motor going. Now it's changing one and two and one and two. And so it's kind of mixing some of these other parts. And I think this marimba part here is something that can come out of the texture a little.
And there's a cool new congas part mm-hmm. too. And if you don't have congas, you can use toms. But that's pretty cool because like how often do you get to hear that flavor?
Yeah.
Right? So it's like, I think the percussion parts are really fun. It adds to the color. We kind of continue this little like chromatic-y thing and then little bursts of flute and oboe as they converse back and forth with the melody and the horn, clarinet, and tenor sax. That keeps going to 51. Now that part that the trumpets and saxes had before continues in sax, but the trumpets get this like, they get the melody part. One, two, and one, two, and it's up a little bit higher for those trumpet ones. Particularly if you're playing this with like a non-varsity band, mm-hmm. goes up to like C sharp and D. The partials are a little bit weird here.
Yeah.
So I remember like whenever I've played this, I kind of have to spend a little time here with the trumpets, making sure that they get it. It's like B natural, C sharp, D, then C sharp, D, B flat, then B natural.
Just like lots all of weird finger combinations that they maybe just don't like play.
And the pitches are just a mm-hmm, little bit different. Mm-hmm. It's chromatic sometimes, but not other times.
In that motor part, now we still have some people that are still going one and two and rest, one and two and. But now in the low voices, we have one and three. So the effect is that we get one and two and three, one and two and three, one and two and three, and all of those parts. Just wanting to make sure stylistically that that is how you want it to sound, making sure that their beat, the people quarter note on beat three, that we're making that note not super short. That needs right. to lead into the next measure.
At 55, we're back to those marcato accents we had before with the little China cymbal interspersed in on beat threes. So everybody has it now, and we have to keep everything very firm moving forward, like Laura mentioned. And it's everybody, one and two and, one and two and then lows, lows, lows. And they have like a little moment there. And I remember whenever I've played this, sometimes they're too heavy, like Laura mentioned. Yep. So just trying to keep that really light. And then everybody again, having the same rhythm.
Big timpani
then
moment.
Big timpani solo with like a little snare drum build up. And then at 61, we're back to the quiet style like before, like the Mission Impossible type sound with horn and clarinet too. Tenor sax kind of chilling underneath with long notes, but the clarinet one with the melody alone.
That's right.
Yep. Marimba has gone back to kind of its like
that little
part
ostinato.
Along with some of the lower parts. And then clarinets are continuing to have the melody. And then at 69, the trumpets. This part's cool. We get chords, but with accents at the beginning.
They're like little bell tones. Little bell tones. And have them play them like they're little forte pianos.
Every mark it in the part mm-hmm. like that for them so that they get out of the way. So it starts with trumpet two, and then trumpet one and horn, and then trumpet two again, and then horn and so it's like the horns and the trumpets keep doing it. Then the flutes and the alto and clarinet one and oboe come in with the one, two, and the part the trumpets had before. So everybody else, you got to really layer this down so it's not too much, like it's very tooty, but there is like, you know, there's the important parts. So you have to make
prioritizing.
Sure the kids prioritize who's the melody.
We get here to measure 77 and we're back to that unison rhythm. One and two and rest and with percussion happening in there. One and two and rest. One, two, three. One and two and. So again, just lots of articulation and counting since this is more unison rhythm in this section here.
Then we're back to the beginning, like where everybody played on one, two, two, and one. Except this time, not everybody has it, just the brass have it. And then the upper woodwinds have the melody. Yep. And then 86, trumpets take over the melody. We continue with some of that interspersement. It's just like the beginning. The lows get their same one, two, and from before with the A flats and E naturals. And then at 94, we all drop down in dynamic to like build it up to the end. Mm-hmm. Everybody's got one, two, and, or two, three, and. So it's like playing on, you know, everybody plays on different beats, but it's building up, building up, building up, crescendoing, getting more firm and articulation to the very end. And then a big timpani moment, one, and everybody has a big hit on two. And dampen everything. And dampen it's very everything. Exciting. It's like the robber got caught or whatever in the action scene.
The exciting finish.
Yeah. So this piece is a little shy of 100 measures. It's very fun.
Mm-hmm. Very playable.
Very playable, but lots of little details to work out to make it be 100% perfect.
Right.
But honestly, I mean, you could play this in so many realms.
Yes.
Like a region band. You could play it with a non-varsity at UIL or a non-varsity at your spring concert as That's like right. the ending showstopper, you know. Anybody, like literally anybody could read this down and it's fun sounding.
Yes.
It's not the most challenging necessarily.
Sounds harder than it is.
Yeah, but it's super fun. Mm-hmm. So the kids love it because it's exactly like movie music.
Which we love.
Yes.
Well, we hope that you will consider programming Action Scene in one of your future concerts coming up.
Thanks for joining us today on this episode of
Band BFFs.